Please turn with me tonight to 2 Kings, the second book of Kings, chapter 5, and verse 1. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Our subject in relation to the story of Naaman is the free gift of salvation. If I have to sum up the purpose of the Bible in one sentence, it is this. The Bible is a book about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to find salvation in his namesake. So that sentence summarizes the purpose for which we have the Word of God. Christ and how to find salvation, free salvation, in his namesake. So, as we look at the story of Naaman, this text should thrill our hearts, really. It is one of the most poignant passages of the Bible. And the Lord himself, this is why I read in our second reading, Luke chapter 4, because the Lord himself endorsed the story of Naaman. So it's not just a story, a fairy tale, which did never happen. The Lord said, this is something which really happened. And the story of Naaman gives us the kind of story we like to hear with a happy end. Because this is really what happened with Naaman. And the healing of this chief commander of the army is a picture. It illustrates how we too, we can find the spiritual healing for our souls. What shall it profit to a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So the soul is so important. And the healing of Naaman typifies, symbolizes, because leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. If you read Leviticus chapter 13, that gives you more information about leprosy than any other medical book. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. It illustrates, it pictures how sin also makes damage, causes damages, that a person becomes just a human wreck, just a dead corpse. And I have seen, I have touched personally people who have such sickness or illness. It's a disease. It paralyzes. So everything you can think about on leprosy, the same thing sin does in our bodies, in our lives. So there are five steps to make in order to understand the life of Naaman. But remember, we are not just focusing on his life and the story of his life, but how that should lead us to find God, to be reconciled with him, to have our sins be forgiven, to have a new name, to have a new nature, to have a new heart. And that is only possible when we are reconciled with the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we must look his person. Who is he? And second, to look at, oh, he has a problem. There is a problem in the life of Naaman. Thirdly, the hope. There is a great hope. Naaman receives a message. A message from an unexpected messenger. a child. But fourthly, we will look at his prescription. There is a prescription the prophet will give to Naaman in order to be healed. And fifthly, we will look at his obedience. So those are the five steps I would like to consider, but there we can spend so much time on them that each one of them is so important. So let's look at first the person of Naaman as it is described in verse 1. In verse 1, we are given his name, and the name Naaman means pleasant, agreeable. That's the meaning of his name. But we are given some descriptions of his high position in the verse. This is a great man. I believe no matter how great you are, you cannot compete with Naaman in that time, because he is an honorable man. He is a successful man. He is a man with many splendid qualities. He is a mighty warrior. He is the greatest and the first soldier in the land. He has the privilege and the highest position, the nearest to the king. And he is also a man in valor. So he has great value before the king. He feared no one. A soldier that time feared no one. He feared no God, because he doesn't believe in God at all. Oh yes, he believes in a pagan God which couldn't do anything to him. But he feared no man also. And as you look at his life with his position, I'm sure he had not only the high position, but he has received all sorts of stripes, medals, great glory, highly respected. So that's the position Naaman was described for us in verse 1. Captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was the chief commander of the greatest army of Syria. And nobody could play with the Syrian army. They were so powerful. And the text even say they were able to defeat the army of Israel. So what kind of man was Naaman? Oh, a great man. But in spite of his greatness, we go to the second step. This man has a problem. So there is a discordant note in his life. What is the discordant note? Again, in verse 1, we are told at the end of verse 1, but he was a leper. He was a leper. The mighty warrior who could defeat, I don't want to exaggerate, thousands and thousands of soldiers, who could defeat horses, sparrows, spears, fiery spears, now is defiled and condemned. That's what we should see about him. But in spite of his greatness, there is a problem. He was a leper. And that weakened him, that paralyzed him, that bring that false note, that jotty note on his life. And that makes him to humble himself. He's not proud anymore. But please, now we have to move from Naaman to ourselves. Oh, maybe you think you are great. You have all the pedigree. You have all the respectability, all the nobility, all the notoriety a man can have. You are genius, smart, intelligent. But there is always that but. And according to the Bible, the but is we are poor sinners. Sinners lost, depraved, helpless and hopeless, because the sin sinks to us like in the same way that leprosy is diminishing, devaluating, paralyzing, disfiguring the person little by little, it's a slow death. And this is what was happening with Naaman in his case. So under, just imagine Naaman underneath his uniform with so many medals, with so many stripes, with his high position. Just imagine him in that position. And suddenly, here is a tiny basilisk. A tiny basilisk which disfigure him, which is making his body to be just like a dead corpse. And believe me, little by little, you become insensitive. Everything at the end is floating. Every part of the body will just be floating. When I don't want to spend time on the illness itself, but sin does exactly the same to us. Sin spoils our lives. Sin is incurable. Sin is irreversible. And sin is fatal. We may not see it, but deep inside us there, sin is fatal. And it destroys our life as sin does, as leprosy does to the body. Sin makes us to be insensitive. The conscience will speak to us once. It will speak to us second time, third time. And finally, we become insensitive. And the heart becomes so hard that even a thunder wouldn't move it. But sin also denies us the reason for life and of life. And the worst, dear friends, the worst, Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. So you may enjoy it. Sin is a deceiver. In the beginning, it's good. You feel, you think it's tasty. You think it's attractive and so on. But the end, believe me, the end leads to death. It's fatal. It's like leprosy. Oh, may God protect you. You need the intervention of the Lord to protect you against the power of sin. So that's why, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you come from, no matter how good you have done to other people, no matter how great you are, Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. All. Not even one can stand before God and have the forgiveness of his sins. But I want to move because there is something more, hopefully more positive. Because, we saw his person. He was facing an irreversible, hopeless problem. But there was a message for him. Oh, certainly he was deeply broken, but he finds hope through the lips of a small child, a maid, who was maybe captured during one of the battles, and Naaman was able to have her in her house. And this little Hebrew maid or servant brought a wonderful message to Naaman's wife. Oh, she told Naaman's wife, if only my master, your husband, goes to the prophet. This is an insignificant person, that child. I don't know how old she is, but she had that beautiful message. Insignificant, an ordinary person as she was. So she came and communicated that message to Naaman, to the wife of Naaman, and through her, the message went to be heard by Naaman himself. But it's interesting, before I move on, how does she know that Elisha could heal lepers? Because he has never healed leprosy before that. But the wonder is that she believed in the power of God. She believed that God can do it. And just earlier, in the previous chapter, in chapter 4, Elijah was able to resuscitate a child. And a person, a prophet who was able to resuscitate a child, to bring back to life a child, certainly, she thought, he could also bring a great healing in the life of Naaman. And this is what has happened. And in your case, in my case, My brothers, my sisters, our lives could be radically and dramatically changed in a twinkling of an eye just through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ if we trust him. Who is the Lord? God himself, who became a man. He came on this earth in a body. He dwelt in a body, but in that body he didn't have any sin. And on the cross of Calvary, when he was 33 years old, and as I often mention to you, 33 years old, this is where I want to bite life to its maximum. I want to have it all to me. But this is that age where the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. But believe me, he is the only one who chose when to be born, where to be born. He chose how to be named. He chose when to die, on what kind of death he should experience. But he died that indescribable death, not because of himself, but he saw every one of his people who will believe in him. And you can be one of them tonight if you trust him. Oh Lord, here I am. I'm a poor sinner. I'm like Naaman. Leper, sin is destroying my life. It's killing me slowly, but certainly, Lord, I repent. I need that repentance. Lord, help me. By myself, I could never reach there. Oh, Lord, come and work mightily in my heart. And everywhere, as I read the word of God, anyone who does that sincerely, coming to the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, shall find salvation. And his life will be completely changed. But we have to move forward, because when Naaman heard the message from that little maid, he moved forward. He did something. But he made 5 mistakes, which nobody should make if you are seeking to find the Lord tonight. Young, old alike, you are looking for the Lord. There are 5 mistakes Naaman made here. Please avoid them in order to find God and to have that relation with God. I have to go through them very quickly. The first one, in verse 5, Naaman thought he could pay for his healing. And in verse 5, you can see how he took departure. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. I couldn't convert how much this could be in pounds, but certainly it's a big, big amount of money he took with him if you convert it to our currency today. But the problem, the mistake he made, there is no earthly currency which will give somebody access to heaven. No earthly currency. It's impossible. Salvation cannot be bought. It is free, unearned, unearned, undeserved, free gift of God. It is without money, without silver, and without price. God's gifts are too great to be bought by men. It's impossible to buy any gift God gives. We are beggars, we are only receivers, and we receive graciously. God has nothing to sell. He's not a tradesman. He is a giver. And we receive. The only condition God's put, trust in me. Believe in me. Why don't you believe? Why don't you trust in the Lord? Do you want to earn heaven? No, it's impossible. Good works, you cannot do better good works than Naaman. But he was told it's impossible. The second mistake he made, he went to the wrong person and the wrong place, as many do today. And you can see this in verse 6. He went, of course, to the king. What can an earthly king do to somebody who has leprosy? Nothing. And this is why, believe me, the prime minister couldn't do anything to our soul. The queen couldn't do anything to our soul. Actually, they are against our soul. Whatever they do, whatever they decree, whatever law they bring into practice, it's against our souls. Oh, he went to the wrong person. But also in verse 9, when he went to Elisha, in verse 9, so Naaman came with horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Don't stand at the door. Go in. Trust in the Lord. There is only one person and one place to go in order to receive forgiveness of sin. The only person, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is only one name given for men by which men could be saved under heaven, which means on earth, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name. So, and the only place to go, it's at Calvary. We need to go to Calvary to confess our sins, to repent, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, whosoever believeth in me shall receive everlasting life. So we can go to him and we can find salvation for his name's sake. The third mistake he made, he wanted to be healed according to his own way. And in verse 10 to 12, you can see his own way there. He made a scenario. There is a scenario in his mind. And I will do it this way. I think the prophet will come to me this way. And he will put his hand on me this way and so on. But this is his own prejudices, his own preconceived ideas. And those preconceived ideas will never work because we need God's mighty hand and God's method. And what is God's method? Let's ask ourselves. How is the Lord saving people today? Very simple. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, God's method is repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What is God's method to save us from our sins? Matthew 11, verse 28. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's God's method. We cannot improve it. It's beyond our understanding. God coming in the body of a man, dying on the cross to build that bridge between us, that we can take that ladder to take us into heaven. Oh, no computer could have ever thought about it. Only God. So that's the only way for salvation. We cannot improve on God's way. It is so simple because it was provided by God. The fourth mistake Nehemiah made is the wrong attitude. He came with a wrong attitude. It is mentioned in verse 12. There he felt snubbed because he was not received by the prophet himself. He was received by a servant. So that made him angry. So he thought, oh, it's the prophet who should receive me, not a servant. What do I do with a servant? I need the prophet. But he left that place, and in verse 12, we are told, he went away in rage, angry. His pride was fed, and he couldn't swallow it. And his pride was wounded. He couldn't just believe that this is so simple. He felt humiliated, and he went away. And the fifth mistake, nobility will never secure salvation. Whoever you are, noble, well-educated, that doesn't give you salvation. He came with horses and chariots to impress, but all that is vanity. Credentials, titles, respectability, nothing can save a person. But now, here is the simple prescription given to him. And that is the simple prescription we give also to men and women to be saved and to have fellowship with the living God. In verse 10 and 11, something is given to him as a prescription. And when he got angry and left the place, verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in a rage. And in verse 13, now he gets a good counsel. Fortunately, he had wise servant who gave him a good counsel, a wise counsel. And in verse 13, his servants came near him and spake to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great things, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean?" So the simple method of God and told, passed unto Naaman, is just to go and wash. Go and wash. That's the message from the Bible. And his prescription was so simple. God's thoughts are not ours. It is simple as that. I came from far, but the only thing I need to do is to trust in the Lord, to believe in him, yield my life to him, trust in the atoning work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Then I receive something great, which no man can give me. And I will close with the fifth one, his obedience. Now we can see his obedience. But in his obedience, verse 13 and 14, and especially verse 14, then went down. I would want to dwell on that word. He went down, which means what? He humbled himself. The great commander, the great man with the highest position, now he has to go down to humble himself, to become small. In the muddy waters of the Jordan River, this is where he had to go in order to find healing and to find salvation. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. My brothers and sisters, in order to be saved, you need full obedience. He didn't wash himself 6 times, but 7 times he had to do it. And earlier, when Elisha was healing the child, he had to sneeze 7 times, which means the work of God is complete. And here, Naaman had to dip himself in that muddy water 7 times. That was obedience, nothing less. Go and wash was the message, and you shall be cleansed. Likewise, we go to Christ, we look unto him, we trust in him, and we believe in him. We humble ourselves, and we take advice from an ordinary preacher, from an insignificant preacher, like that little child, that little maid, who said, if only my master goes to the prophet. Oh, can I say the same to you? If only tonight you go to Christ, crying for salvation and asking him to save you, to give you a new heart, new character, by his precious blood, putting your trust on that great sacrifice which was made on behalf of sinners. Oh, he doesn't say, do this, carry this, do good works, but just look unto that cross on which the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Trust in him. Repent from your sins. And he said, he will never give his back to anyone who comes to him. Please, don't remain at the bank of the river. Deep. Enter into it. Come to Christ. Believe in him, because he is the physician of souls. Naaman's healing picture is our healing of sin by the blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus died a cruel death to pay the full penalty of our sins. He is alive. The Lord is alive, and he still saves. Come to him. Come to him now and be cleansed and be forgiven. The prophet said to Naaman, wash and be clean. And the same could be received tonight if you obey in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I close with just one word in verse 19. And Elisha said unto him, go in peace. So there is peace given when we trust in the Lord, when we come to him and repent from all our sins. I will plead with you again tonight. Trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. He paid the price. Let's pray together. O Lord, our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that salvation is possible, that even for sinners deep down in sin, polluted in our hearts and conscience, but as we come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the free gift of salvation that no man can give us. Oh Lord, speak to the heart again. If there is anyone among us tonight who has never thought about how to have that free gift of salvation, we plead again with thee, Lord, to speak to his heart, and the little which has been said, the feeble words which have been uttered tonight, will speak to his heart and grant salvation and forgiveness to his soul. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.